Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump speak by telephone, and a new era dawns in Russian-American relations, or does it? Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me in the studio is RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Good to be here, Brian.
Good to have you. So you penned a pretty informative piece over the weekend, gleaning out what happened in the Trump-Putin phone call based on the Kremlin and White House readouts, respectively, and what it means going forward for sanctions, Ukraine, and possible cooperation on terrorism and in Syria. Let's take these things one at a time. Sanctions was the big elephant in the room. There were leaks before the phone call that they might be lifted. We now know they weren't, and according to the Kremlin, they weren't even discussed, which I find hard to believe, but let's leave that aside for the moment. What kind of signals did you see in the readouts regarding sanctions?
I think the signal on sanctions, the signal is that, let's take it slow. You know, neither of us really wants to raise this now. I mean, for Trump, you know, as you mentioned, there was a sort of a round of speculation and I guess counter speculation caused by, Kellyanne Conway saying on Fox News that sanctions would be on the table, essentially. Mm-hmm. Or at least comments that were interpreted that way. Then Trump himself saying, quote, very early, unquote, to discuss them. So, you know, he was already trying to play down the idea that there would be a swift movement on sanctions. And then playing into that, according to both readouts, no mention of sanctions.
Right.
You know, I think it's simply a matter of whether they discussed it or not. We don't really know, of course, but Trump doesn't want to make it look like he's rushing to lift sanctions because there's opposition to that in Congress, bipartisan opposition to it, and also in Europe among some of the U.S. allies.
You wonder maybe if they didn't want to get this out there now because Trump doesn't feel he could deliver on this right now.
That's certainly possible. Yeah, absolutely.
So
with this legislation that's being floated and created in Congress. So, and then for Putin, it's the usual thing where he doesn't want to look like he's, you know, begging or pleading for sanctions to be lifted. You know, that's part of his
right
game.
And you had some very high profile senators, not just John McCain and Lindsey Graham, but you had Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, coming out opposed to
right, absolutely. I think that probably did have a direct effect on, you know, on what was going on and what's being said about this call.
Now, you note there was this phrase about restoring mutually beneficial trade and economic ties, which would imply, obviously, an end to sanctions, right?
Right. And I think, you know, that was in the Kremlin readout. So I think that's a way for the Kremlin to say, oh, look, well, actually, we did talk about sanctions, or, you know, we talked about trade ties and both of us said that we need to improve them. And you had after that several Russian lawmakers and officials saying, this is something that implies the removal of sanctions.
It's funny if you read like what some Russian commentators are saying now. There seems to be this feeling that Putin was the winner in the call. The chairman of the State Duma's Foreign Affairs Committee said that now NATO is in disarray. I mean, this is hyperbole, but it's interesting how this is being spun in Moscow.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. And I think in the West as well, there was at least before the White House statement came out, there was a lot of reaction on social media saying, "Oh, looks like Putin got what he wanted," and everything based solely
on the Kremlin
readout, which, you know, I think is a little dangerous because the Kremlin uses these for spin.
Yeah. Ukraine was the second area that you identified that we see some signals going forward. What do you think we see there?
Well, that's another one where, you know, it was mentioned by the Kremlin and not by the White House. And that, you know, the wording there was also very kind of provocative because the Kremlin said something like
establish partner-like cooperation.
Yeah, partner-like cooperation. And that's and in fact, it was referring to Ukraine and several other issues, nuclear proliferation, Korea. But Ukraine was the last of those to be mentioned, and I think many people read it as, well, look, this, they're saying that they've agreed to a partnership on Ukraine. That kind of plays into the whole history of Ukraine's fate being decided you know, by bigger countries on both sides, and the implication here being, well, the U.S. is gonna you know, drop support for Ukraine in the name of improving relations with Russia. So I think that probably caused some concern in Kiev, but it's hard to tell how grounded that concern is, because
there was nothing about that in the White
House. Nothing in the White House. So, and you know, as I tried to explain in my piece, it's, you know, this could be just a way for the Kremlin to get that out there and to try to make it seem like that's what was being decided.
What's interesting is that is a longstanding Kremlin goal for the United States and Russia, like the two superpowers, to decide little Ukraine's fate.
Exactly.
This has been long the Kremlin's goal, and I think this says more about the Kremlin's goals here than what was discussed in the meeting. If there was nothing about this in the White House readout, which there apparently wasn't,
right? There wasn't, but I mean, that doesn't mean they didn't discuss it, because the White House, the readout was so short that, you know, it would clearly, and it mentioned that the phone call was 1 hour long. So the White House statement didn't pretend to refer to everything that was mentioned.
Right.
So it really leaves you guessing as to, well, they probably did speak about Ukraine, but what did they say? And,
right,
you know, were both sides paying as much attention as the other?
No, you're right. The Kremlin's spinning this, and the White House isn't, and that's a key thing.
I mean, I think the White House, to some degree, is spinning the whole thing in the way of, by not going as far as the Kremlin on several issues, mm-hmm, including Ukraine, but also mostly Syria and terrorism.
Yeah, and that's the third issue you identified: Syria and terrorism. This is something that both readouts talked about, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, the White House one pretty much only mentioned that, aside from improving bilateral relations, terrorism and Syria and Islamic State were sort of the only subject. And also the Kremlin statement emphasized that was sort of the priority and the main thing they talked about. But I felt that the Kremlin statement went a little bit further than, or into more detail than, the White House one about cooperation in Syria, because it said that the president's called for the establishment of real coordination of Russian and American actions in Syria. And that's, you know, that suggests sort of a big difference between what has happened in the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
But the White House statement was more vague in its wording, and talked about, creating peace in various places in the world, including Syria, and cooperating more against IS and Islamic terrorism.
I mean, it's hard to say if we know any more about where this relationship is going to go as a result of what happened or didn't happen on Saturday. Right now, it's everything still seems a bit vague.
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially with terrorism and Syria, you know, I mean, that the expectation has been that's the area in which they're going to start cooperating,
right,
more effectively or more quickly. But this, you know, these readouts didn't really tell you whether that's going to happen or whether there was any concrete progress toward that in this phone call.
And also, we have to remember this phone call took place in the context of other phone calls. Donald Trump spoke with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, stressing the importance of NATO in that phone call. So there's a context here. But I think as the week progresses, we're going to start to see things come out that's going to give us more signals. So we certainly will be keeping a close eye on this, and we're also keeping an eye on what Congress will be doing in terms of his talk of codifying the sanctions, which would really tie Trump's hands here, would not make the Russians happy. So that's another thing to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFARL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.